today are visitors, we're happy that you're here. We want you to make yourself at home and just sit and listen to the Word of God. I have a message I believe the Lord wants done. What I've been doing is teaching on Wednesday night on Hebrews 11, the Hero of Faith chapter. I've been doing that all for about 7 weeks. But this one I wanted to do today, and I selected this for this Bring a Friend Sunday and this Ordinance Sunday. So Hebrews chapter 11, and what we're going to be doing is looking at verse 20. Let's go ahead and begin again at 23 and go down through verse 27. Let's stand and show respect if you can. Now, if you're not able, I want you to sit there. Stand and show respect and honor to the reading of the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 11, let's notice at verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw that he was a proper child. The idea of proper child, he's a beautiful child. It doesn't so much talking about his appearance, but he was beautiful in the eyes of the Lord. That's the idea of it. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Brother Mike Shamlin, would you lead us in a word of prayer? We're going to title this message today, The Decision of Moses. And we'll get 3 main points. And what I've basically done is just broke the text down in 3 different parts. We'll look at the background to the decision. Moses made a tremendous decision. You go back, if you want to read about it, in the book of Exodus. And it was just a tremendous decision. He came to an age he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. So we're going to show you the background to that decision. Number 2, we'll look at the difficulty of that decision. That probably was a very difficult decision to make when you consider everything, and we'll look at that just for a little bit. And last of all, I'm going to show you the reasons for the decision, and that's the main part of the message. I'm going to show you the reasons for the decision that he made. Well, let's get a little background to this decision. Let's turn back to the book of Exodus. Keep your place here. Now, again, if you can't find things in your Bible, don't try. Nothing any more aggravating as searching and then me reading it and you still ain't there yet and you get lost. I don't want to lose you looking. I do want you to listen to what I have to say. So if you can't find things, don't cry, because I'm going to read it. Now, last Wednesday, I dealt with the verse 23, Hebrews 11, 23. And Moses' parents, whenever Moses was born, it was in a very difficult time in Egypt. What had happened is, when you come to the end of the book of Genesis, you'll remember Joseph, of course, was sold into Egypt, and then the Lord blessed him there, and he became second in command to Pharaoh. So one of the things that he did is he brought 75 or 76 of his brethren, there's a total of 76, he brought them all to Egypt. They weren't a nation yet. Lord, of course, chose Abraham, and through Abraham was going to come a nation, and through that nation, all nations was going to be blessed, and that nation's name was Israel. But they weren't a nation in the book of Genesis. They were just starting out. What happened when we come to the book of Exodus? About 400 years had passed. And now they are growing like crazy. When they come, the word Exodus means exit. It means coming out. They went down with Joseph in the latter part of the book of Genesis, Genesis 50. And now they are a nation of people. 600,000 men when they come out. So you remember, they had big families. They possibly was 3 or 4 million people now in Egypt. And they were continuing to get larger and larger. Well, there arose a king, a Pharaoh, that didn't know Joseph and didn't know the history behind things. And all, when he looked at the children of Israel of how they were multiplying, he figured out that, well, if a nation comes to invade us, if they go with that nation, they will be able to conquer us. So they put them into bitter bondage. Well, you guess what happened? They just kept right on multiplying. They just kept right on increasing their numbers. So the Pharaoh came up with the plan that every time a little Hebrew boy, can you imagine, what's a horrible plan, wasn't it? Every time a little Hebrew boy was born, they would throw him into the Nile River. Now remember, that would have been like a sacrifice to their old pagan god. The Egyptians worshipped many gods, and they worshipped the Nile River. So the Hebrews would take their little baby boys when they were born, and they would throw them in that river. Isn't that barbaric? I'm not going to go where you think I'm going. I went there Wednesday night and about tore the pulpit down. It's always a barbaric thing when a nation of people slays their children. It's always a barbaric thing when a nation slays their children. Let me leave that lay for now. Get the message Wednesday, and you'll hear the rant on that particular subject. So, that's what they did. Now, according to the book of Acts 7, they complied with that. Many of the people of Israel, when their little boys were born, they would throw them in the Nile. That's what they did. Well, we come to Exodus 2. And we want to look at this just for a little bit. I've just got to give you the background so you'll know what's going on. That was the time frame that Moses was born in. The difficult time. And there went out a man of the house of Levi, and his name was Amram. And you know that from another text. That was a man's name. That was Moses' daddy was Amram. And he took a wife of the daughters of Levi. Her name was Jochebed. Jochebed, that was her name. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw that he was a goodly child, or a proper child, or a beautiful child, what did they do? They hid him 3 months. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, it would be difficult to hide a baby. And you know the reason why? They cry. So for 3 months, they hid this little baby. Tried to keep it from being caught. Well, after a while, they realized that that couldn't be done. So what she does, by faith, she does this. And when she could, verse 3, could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark. She took for him an ark of bulrushes. She made an ark. What is an ark? It's like a boat. Noah built a ark. It's like a little boat. And she made it of bulrushes, and she daubed it with slime and pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink, the reeds. Just set it there. Kind of laid that thing in the hands of the Lord. That's what she's doing. She realized God had a plan for this little baby. She just didn't understand how this thing was going to pan out. She just knew she wasn't going to comply with Pharaoh's rule. And she put him in the river all right, but she put him in a boat in the river. That's what she did. She left that thing in the hands of God. Was God still in control? Sure was. What is what happens? It says in verse 4, and his sister stood afar off, to wit, what would be done to him. Now, his sister, remember what his sister name's what? Miriam. Miriam, that's Hebrew. In the New Testament, you know what Miriam is? It's Mary. It's Mary. So, she was watching. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens were, her old entourage was with her, walked along by the riverside, and they saw this ark among the flags, the reeds. She sent her maid to fetch it. Now watch what happened here, verse 6. And when she opened it, she saw the child. Saw that beautiful little baby boy, 3 months old. 3 months old. And behold, what was the baby doing? He was weeping. And boy, you realize a woman is always a sucker for a crying child. And that's exactly what he was doing. She was a weeping and then crying, and then her heart just went out to that little child, and she adopted him. And he became known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. So he was a prince of Egypt. Now let's go back to the book of Hebrews. I had to lay that background because some of you might not have knew it. And the message wouldn't make sense if you don't know that part of it. He wasn't really an Egyptian. He's a Hebrew. Wasn't really an Egyptian at all. He was raised in the king's house, or in the queen's house. He was raised there, but indeed he was a Hebrew. Notice what it says in verse 24. Now here we come to Moses. That's what the message is about. Here we come to Moses makes a decision. And I'm telling you, folks, when you talk about a decision, this is it. And that's what he does here in Hebrews chapter 11 and the verse 24. By faith, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, that's an amazing thing that he did. Especially if you look at history and you look at Egypt. Egypt at that time was one of, if not the greatest nation in the world, one of the greatest nations in the world. Very rich, very profitable. And he, right there, was he was in the top echelon, so to speak, of the place. He was a part of the king's household. He would have had anything you wanted. As far as he, I wrote some things down here. He would have had power. He would have had position. He would have had prestige. And he would have had possessions. Don't you think that's what most people in America is looking for? And that's what they lived their whole life for. They lived their life for possessions, prestige, position, and power. That's what they're after. And that's what a lot of our young people are seeking after. And we call that being a success. When people would look at Moses, especially for 40 years here, the first 40 years of his life, they would say, boy, look how successful. Well, he makes a difficult decision. When he hit 40 years of age, he realized what he was. He was an Egyptian. And he chose not to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That's a great decision, wasn't it? Now, imagine what the folk of Egypt thought about him when he made, I mean, people would have known who he was. Imagine what they thought. The book of Acts said he was mighty in word and in deed. So people would have knew Moses in Egypt. I mean, this wasn't something that would have been a secret. This would have been someone that they knew. Because he'd done mighty things, no doubt, in Egypt before he was ever the leader over Israel. Can't you imagine the Egyptians said, look how unappreciative he was. Here he was, we drove him out of the river when he was nothing, and then we've made him a part of the king's house. Look how unappreciative he is of all that we've done for him. How could he ever turn his back on us to turn to follow these bunch of slave people? How could he ever do that? Don't you imagine they probably thought that? I mean, they did do a lot for him. He did get a good, he got the best secular education of the day. I mean, we're astounded even down to the day at the knowledge and wisdom in secular things of the Egyptians, the things they built, the things they made. He grew up in that time. So he got the best secular education you could have for 40 years. So they would have thought, how unappreciative. We raised him, and then he turns on us. Sometimes when people choose to follow the Lord, that's what their family says. I've had people that have been saved in this church before, and their family said, what in the world did you do to them? Well, I didn't do anything to them. They've turned on us. They didn't turn on you. They've turned to Christ. There's a difference there, and that's what Moses did. You figure they called him a loser? Don't you imagine that people in Egypt said, look at that loser. I mean, he's joined with a bunch of slave people that are shepherds. I mean, this guy's a complete loser. They would have said that this guy had everything. That's what people say. This guy had everything, man. He had the power, position, prestige, and possessions. He had what people are looking for today and what people are living for today. Is it not? Is that not the main thing people in America is looking for? They're looking for the possessions, the power, the prestige. And the positions. That's what drives them. That's what they live their life for. Well, Moses, when he came to age, he said, I don't want that no more. You can have it. You can have Egypt. You can have the power, the prestige, the position, the possessions. You can have it all. He turned his back on it. That's a great decision, would you not say? But just imagine what they said about him. Moses went from being a prince of Egypt to being a shepherd. in about one day. Now, eventually what would happen is he would have to leave Egypt. He spent 40 years in Egypt. Then he spends 40 years as a shepherd. 40 years as a shepherd in Midian. That's where he meets his wife. 40 years in Egypt, 40 years as a shepherd. Then he would spend 40 years leading Israel. I mean, he was trained for 80 years for 40 years service. Think about this. If you're here today a little bit older, he was 80 years old when he really started carrying out his work for the Lord. Think about that. One thing about aging when you're saved, there's always plenty to do for the Lord until you die. I want you to know something. The Lord don't retire you. There ain't no such thing as retiring with the Lord. And after all, after you're born again and after you know Christ as your Savior, your life is to be spent serving Him anyhow. The great thing about retirement, it gives you more time to do that. More time to spend prayer. More time to spend with Him. See what I mean? So these are just some things that people would say about Him. Now I'm ready to preach. Now I got to where I wanted to be. I got you all lined out, give you a little bit of the history of things. Now I'm going to show you the reasons for this decision. This is a great decision He made. Of course, He didn't make that on His own. Lord help Him made that. Obviously did. But let's look now at Hebrews 11. And let's give you three reasons why He made such a drastic decision. Turned His back on all the wealth and the treasures of Egypt. All the position, prestige, and power and possessions that went along with that. And He chose to be numbered with the people of God. That's the decision He made. Now the world always thinks that's stupid, even down to the day. They still down to the day think that's ignorant. Many people do. Still yet do down to the day. But I'm going to show you why He did it. Are you ready? Let's look back at verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, and we know that was 40 years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Why did he make this decision? Because faith had took hold of his heart. He made this decision by faith. In other words, he became a believer. He became a believer in the God of Israel. I mean, if you look, and I've mentioned this, Egypt had many gods. And in the book of Exodus, whenever the Lord was going to bring them out of the land of Egypt, you remember He brought the 10 plagues upon them? What you need to remember about those 10 plagues, each one of them plagues was a slap against an Egyptian god. For instance, they worshipped the Nile River. You know what God did in one of the plagues? He turned the Nile River to blood. They worshipped a sun god. Remember that? They also worshipped a sun god. He turned it black. Pitch dark for 3 days in Egypt. The Bible says it was so black, so dark, you could feel it. And the only place there was light was in the land of Goshen where the children of Israel dwelt at. So you can see them crying out to their old pagan gods to take away this bloody water or to bring the light on again. But nothing happened until they called for Moses, and God and Moses called on the true God, the true and living only God. And then the light came back on, and then the waters cleared up. So He was showing that Israel's God was greater. He was actually judging not only Egypt for the way they treated these people, that He was also judging the Egyptian gods in the plagues. That's exactly what He was doing. Moses became a believer. Though he had that secular education, and though he no doubt had probably even went to the temple worship of some of these false gods, yet after a while, by faith, God gave him faith. He became a believer in the God of Israel. And especially, look down at verse 26 of Hebrews 11. Esteeming the reproach of who? Christ. Esteeming the reproach of Christ. The word Christ is New Testament. You know what Christ is in the Old Testament? Messiah. Moses became a believer in the coming Messiah. I mean, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob became his God. Seriously, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob became his God. And by faith, he believed that the God of Israel was a true God. and he trusted him. I'm going to tell you something, folks. When you become a believer in the God of Israel, when you believe that the Messiah was the Lord Jesus as your Savior, it's going to change what you do, and it's going to change how you live. All God's people say it. It's going to change you. Moses, can't you imagine what people thought when all of a sudden he began to turn his back on all these things? They'd go, what in the world? You need to come to yourself. Have you lost your mind? Don't you realize what all you're giving up? Don't you imagine people doing that to him? No. He chose, my friends, he chose the eternal over the temporary. It's what he basically did. He made the most wisest decision anybody can ever make. But to the world, people will think you're ignorant when you make such decisions. He made a decision, and he trusted, he rejected the pagan gods of Egypt, and he trusted the true God of Israel. How did he do it? By? Somebody tell me. Faith. They weren't saved by the law back here. The law wasn't even given here until Exodus 20. They were saved by how? By faith. That's what Hebrews 11 shows you. By faith Abraham. By faith Isaac. By faith Noah. By faith Enoch. This is all Old Testament characters. They saved based on faith in the coming Messiah. Here's where I'm at today. How am I saved? By faith. But I'm looking back. The Messiah's done come. That Messiah was Jesus. He died on Calvary for my sins, and he rose victorious over sin, death, and hell the third day. And by trusting that message is how he saves your soul. That's how he does it. By faith. True faith produces a change in your conduct. Let me say that one more time. True faith will produce a change in your conduct. Do a change. You won't be the same. If it's true faith, it'll last. If it's true faith, it'll change you. A lot of people claim faith, but they've never changed. They say the exact same way that they are. You say, well, Pastor, you believe you're saved by grace. I sure do, and that's the only way you can be saved. But true grace will also change your life and produce in you a desire to want to obey and follow the Lord. Scripture says that old things will pass away and that all things will become new to you. It'll be different. Moses became, when faith hit Moses, his attitude changed, how he thought changed, and what he did changed. Everybody see it? It all changed. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're here today and you made a profession in the past and it didn't change you, here's all this pastor's telling you. There's something wrong with it. If it didn't change you, there's something wrong with it. Because it changed you. It changes you forever. It really does. So when Moses made this decision, it was because of what? What's the first reason? He did it by faith. Faith did it. He became a believer in the God of Israel. He believed in the Messiah and trusted the Messiah. And then that changed his conduct. You know, change the you know, really, you want to know how to change a nation? It ain't going to be a politician that does it. You got to change people's hearts. And only Jesus can do that. That's how you change a nation. What the Lord churches need to do is get out here and spread the gospel to people. And when people receive the gospel, it changes them. And they don't do all these things that people are doing today, which is so sinful. It changes them. All right, number two. Reason number two, and let's notice this in verse 25. First reason, number one, he made the decision of Moses. He did it by faith. Faith hit his heart, and it changed how he thought and what he did. Became a believer in the Messiah and in the God of Israel. Now we notice in verse 25, he chose rather to suffer affliction. I want everybody to hear this. Suffer affliction with the people of God. Let me stop here just a minute. Historically, I told Sunday school class this morning is, God's people's always been persecuted on this earth. We live in a unique time here in America. We don't nowhere near have the persecution that God's people had. You look into, but I've done a study through the book of Acts. Man, the early church was persecuted. I mean, Paul got beat about 8 or 9 different times with whips and with canes. And all the apostles suffered martyr's death. I mean, if you know anything about the Dark Ages, you look at the Dark Ages, 50 million were put to death in the dark. God's people has always been persecuted this earth. It really has been. And that's because the devil's loose, and he loose here on the earth too, and he raises persecution against God's people. But it's always been that way. We live in a unique time in America. And there is, well, it's heading our way. I'm telling you, it's heading our way. There's going to come a time when you have to make a decision whether you're going to follow Christ or you're going to follow the things of the world. You're going to really have to make a decision. That decision still needs to be made today, doesn't it? But it's getting worse and worse and worse. What are we going to do with our land? We need to spread the gospel. The gospel is what changes people. It's not going to be a law that changes people. It's going to be the gospel that changes people. You look in the book of Acts, Paul went into the area of Asia, into Ephesus. And they were big on the goddess Diana. Man, and the silversmiths made their money that way. They made these, actually they were replicas of the temple of the goddess Diana. They made a lot of money making those. And they sold so many of them, they had a very lucrative account there. A very lucrative way of making a living that way. They did. You know what happened? The book of Acts says that all of Asia heard the gospel. And they didn't have a radio. They didn't have television. They just had a strong zeal to tell people about Jesus. And they just went out and started spreading the gospel. And it spread it so much, it says that all Asia heard the gospel. All of Asia heard it. You know what happened? The Lord saved so many people that the local 175 of the silversmiths got together and they said, listen, we got to do something about Paul. There's so many people, no one was buying the little silver shrines anymore. They weren't buying them anymore. Why? Somebody tell me. That's saved. We don't fight that way anymore. We've got to get somebody elected that's going to change some kind of law. Don't work. How's that working for us? It ain't. They're still doing what they do. You got to go right to the people and spread the gospel, and the Lord will change the hearts. That's the only way you can change the land. All God's people say it. Yeah, I'm getting irritated. Let's move on. Second reason, the pleasures of sin are for a season. You hear me, young people? Now, I want you to know something. There's pleasure in sin. That's the part that says the pleasures of sin. There is such a thing as sinful pleasures. When I was in sin, I enjoyed it. There's things that I did, Larry, that I enjoyed. Oh, man, I liked it in the flesh. Oh, man. But what happens when the Lord touches your heart, you realize those old sinful pleasures are just for a season. And you weigh that thing in the balance and you think, well, I got this little bit of time I'm going to be here on earth and then here's an eternity. Pleasure of this world aren't worth an eternity in hell, are they? Where you spend eternity at today is the most important thing and the most important decision you'll ever make. It's where will you spend an eternity at? Moses had power, position, prestige, and possessions. That's what we're looking for. That's where most people live for. And when people have those things, what do we call them? We call them a success. Call them a success. You know, Moses realized different. He realized that the pleasures of this world are just for a what? Just for a season. And after that season, there's an eternity. So Moses' decision was he chose the eternal over the temporary. That's what he did. That's the same decision that I made the day the Lord saved my soul, as I chose the eternal over the temporary. Most people choose the temporary over the eternal. Most people will. Most young people do. I want you to know something this morning. It's just not old people that die. Young people die. Young people die too. People in their 20s die. People in their 30s die. You look at read an obituary, go look at a graveyard, you'll see there's all different ages. What I'm telling you is you need to weigh this thing. Oh yeah, there's pleasures in sin, but it's just for a season. You don't want to die there. Spiritual things and knowing the Messiah, trusting Christ as your Savior and becoming His child and having a home in heaven, those are the eternal things. I'll give you as much, I'm not going to turn you to it, but Matthew 16:26 is a text of Scripture that the Lord used in my life. When I was a teenager, when I was in the Lord was working on me in the ninth grade, but it's a tenth grade. Here's what it says, Matthew 16:20. What is a profit, Matthew 16:26, what is a profit to gain the whole world? I want you to reason with me now. What does it profit to gain the whole world but lose your soul? Can you answer? There came a day, Larry, I couldn't answer it. I loved what I was doing. I was having a good time. I had a good big crowd of boys to run with, and we was into everything. But I weighed that thing. And I thought, man, there ain't nothing worth this. There ain't no woman or no drug or no bottle or no sin. No sinful pleasure is worth an eternity in hell. I'm not willing to sell my soul for earthly pleasures. Let me say it one more time. I wasn't willing to sell my soul for earthly pleasures. And that's the decision that Moses made. Did everybody see me? That's the decision that Moses made. That's the decision that you have to make when you trust the Lord as your Savior. Oh, man. I had something I wanted to read to you. Listen to this. I got this out of the Believer's Bible Commentary, which I had to go buy me another because I gave one to mine to Jacob and one to Caleb. Left me without one. So. Anyhow, I just thought I'd tell you in case you want to reimburse me. It says this, instead of occupying a line or two of hieroglyphics on some obscure tomb, let me say it one more time. Instead of occupying a line or two of hieroglyphics on some obscure tomb, he is memorialized in God's eternal book. All God's people say it. Moses made a wise decision, didn't he? We're still talking about him all the way down here in the Bancroft, the decision that he made. One of the problems with an unbeliever is they're spiritually nearsighted. What does it mean to be nearsighted? Can't see afar off. You just see here. The Holy Spirit opens your eyes, Chris. You start seeing things far off, and you realize there's an eternity out there. And the moment you die, you're in it. You're one breath away. Hear me. One breath away from eternity. One breath away. Some of you might be sitting there today, and this might be the last time you hear the message preached. This might be your day. This might be your week. And if you know what I'm saying is true, then you may need to make the same decision that Moses made. He refused the pleasures of this life and the ways of the world and the ways of Egypt. And by faith, he believed in the Messiah. That's what you need to do. Number three. Reason number one, he made a decision. He made it by faith. Reason number two, he realized that the pleasures of sin was just for what? It's just for a season. These things don't last. It's going to be over. Number three, back to Hebrews 11. Notice what it says in verse 26. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect to the recompense of the reward. What's the word recompense? If you look that up in the Greek, it means the wages are better. The wages are better. Sometimes I don't know if you ever have you go get a job. Sometimes you might have two offers, and you might say, "Well, I'm going to take this job right here because the recompense is better." What's that mean? Wages are better. Pays more. Well, what the third reason he made this decision is when he weighed this thing out, he said, well, right here, the better wages is right here. It's a whole lot better being with the children of Israel and following the God of Israel and believing in the Messiah of Israel. It's going to pay better. Does it pay better? Oh, man, does it ever pay better? The recompense is so much better when you know Christ as your Savior. Oh, can I tell you just part of living? I'm happier now than I was when I was in the pleasures of sin. I have contentment. Jesus comes, I'm ready to go. I do, I'm content. I'm thankful for what He's provided for me. And I always got a reason to live. When you retire, some people lose a reason to live because their job ain't there. I don't live for my job. Never did. Jobs come and go. Sports comes and goes. One time I lived for sports, but that comes and goes too. All these things are pleasurable, but they don't pay well. Things of the Lord, the recompense is greater. Let me talk to you just a little bit about it. I got everlasting life. I got everlasting life. I was facing everlasting death. But I have everlasting life now. I'm eternally and gloriously saved. When I die, I go to be with Jesus. When He comes, He's coming for me. That's great pay, isn't it? I'm a rich man this morning. I don't have the treasures of Egypt, but I got all the treasures of heaven. The Father, the Lord indwells my heart. I'm never left nor forsaken. He provides for me. He walks with me. He talks with me, not in a verbal voice, but through His Word. He talks to my heart. It pays better. I'm with you. I'm with the people of God. That's where I want to be. I want to be with God's people. Number me with God's people. You can have the world and the things of it and all the carrying on in it and all the junk in it. You number me with God's people. That was the decision of Moses. That's the decision he made. He wasn't a fool. That's when he really became wise because of the Lord. I'm going to ask you to make that decision today. I'm going to tell you, if you don't have eternal life, you really don't have anything that's going to last. You're going to lose everything you got one day. Did you hear what I said? You're going to lose everything you've got. If you don't know the Lord, if you don't have eternal life, if you don't have the treasures of heaven and the treasures that comes with being saved, you're going to lose it all one day. You're going to lose your house. You're going to lose your bank account. You're going to lose your clothing that you glory so much in. You're going to lose all of those things that's going to stay behind the day that you die. You'll lose it all. Here's what I'm trying to say. What you got, you're just renting. You just don't realize it. You're just renting it. It's not your, this is my house. No, you're renting that jewel. It's if you die today, it ain't going with you. You need something that's everlasting. That's the decision he made. Why? Will you make that decision today? You're going to make one today. It's either going to be yes or no. And if you say, I'm going to postpone my decision, that's no. There's either a yes or there's a no to this thing. You need to trust Jesus. Make the decision that Moses made and trust Him. What we need, if our school system has any hope, is we need the Christian young men and women to live it in the school. If it has any hope, that's what is needed. We need young people that not just talk it, but live it. They need to see a real example of what it means to be a servant of Jesus Christ. And teachers will take notice, and students will take notice, and they'll know. That's what we need. I'm going to ask you to do that. If you're here today and you're a young person and you're saved, serve Him out there. Come and worship at God's house and serve Him out there. And people take notice. We're going to close here with a word of prayer. We're not closing the services, and I'm going to bring Sister Debbie forward, and we're going to have a baptism. Who's leading the meeting? Brother Lee's going to come up and going to lead some singing, and then we're going to do a baptism here. And you just chill and sit. It won't take real long. But we want to have a good prayer here. We want to have a good prayer here. The Bible says that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what the thief on the cross did. If you're here today and you're lost, and you call, He'll hear you. And He'll save your soul. Pastor, that sounds awful simple. Look at Luke 23:39-43. That's what the thief did. Nothing to offer. Realized he's a sinner. And he trusted Jesus. Won't you do it today? What are you waiting on? Why wait? Trust Him today. If you're here today and saved and you ain't been living it, shame on you. If you belong to the Lord, He'll take you to the woodshed. If He's not took you to the woodshed, there's something wrong then. I'm going to say it one more time. If He's not took you to the woodshed, there's something bad wrong there. Because He'll chase in every one of His children to get out there where they don't belong. And we'll ask you to repent of that too. Get back in His house. Get back in His Word. Following the baptism, I'm available. I'm going to ask you to come up. If you want to talk to me this morning, you don't know whether you're saved or not, we'll leave the water in the hole if we got anybody else that wants to come for baptism. After you're saved, you need to be scripturally baptized. Not for salvation, but to publicly profess it. That's what baptism's for. I'm going to ask you to come. One of these front two pews after the baptism.